Jesus, Jesus. Merry Christmas. My name is Andrew Cooney, and it is my joy to welcome you, whether you're online with us or in our sanctuary here, to our 8 o'clock worship service. This is our last of four services as we celebrate the newborn King. I'd like to thank not only the choir and the handbells that we'll be performing in a couple minutes, but also the special music that came and led us in our early service worship time. What a beautiful, beautiful gift that was, wasn't it? So thank you so much. Yes, please. As we get started, I have just a couple of things to share with you so that you stay up to date on our schedule. Sunday, which is the day after Christmas, we will be having one worship service at 10 a.m. January the 2nd, the first Sunday in January, we'll go back to our normal two services at 9:30 and 11 with communion. Pastor Kathy Vidic will be preaching that service. You will not want to miss that. Also, I want to thank the entire church for their generosity over the December holiday, not just to the church, you've been very generous to us, but also to the community. We have blessed so many people this Christmas season, and it is a joy to see the body of Christ at work as we have helped so many people with a variety of needs this Christmas season, so thank you. I have people ask me this time of year, since we don't have an offering in the bulletin or in our service because of COVID, there are boxes in the back with plexiglasses that are boxes that are blue where you can put your offering. If you wish to do it in a different way or more electronically minded, you can go to our website and give, or if you're super techie, you can go to your phone and put in your offering amount and then the word Bethany to 84321. I dare you, 84321. So, as we worship God this morning and give this evening and give him thanks for his son Jesus, will you join with me in allowing the handbells to take our hearts before the throne of God with our prelude?
Thank you. Good evening. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. On this holiest of nights,
we come joining the shepherds who are stung by wonder.
On this most silent night,
we come, our hopes and dreams joining those of Mary and Joseph.
On this night of carols and candlelight,
we come, our glad songs joining with the choirs of angels over us.
We will be singing, O Come All Ye Faithful, verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. Opening prayer. O God of love, you have brought us together tonight and blessed us with your very self. Open our lives to the light of Christ, which glows in the darkness of a world engulfed in apathy, pain, and loss, a world separated from you. Speak to us now that we may hear the good news of your salvation. Bring us into the wonder of your presence. Fill us with that light and carry it out with us into our lives. Amen. You may be seated. The Brown family will be lighting the Christ candle for us.
From Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day.
The birth of the child lying in the manger brought great joy to his parents and the angels. The shepherds praised and glorified God for the Messiah's birth. Imagine yourself in Bethlehem on the night of Jesus' birth. For what do you give praise?
We light the Christ candle, the light of life.
Let us pray. Holy and loving God, as you invited the shepherds to share in the moment, so invite us. May we join the heavenly host in shouts of praise. Amen.
Tonight's scripture is from Luke 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. I hope that you already feel gifted by the amazing music that's been provided to us tonight. And I want to take a moment to thank Miss Albrecht, who played for us on the cello. She is a favorite of many that come to our concert. Miss Daniskuska for playing to us on the violin this evening. I also want to take a moment to thank, there are some young folks that have come back from college and other ventures in life to sing in our choir this evening. Would you take a moment to stand up? Come on. I saw some of you old people. You are not young anymore. I saw you starting to stand up, and that's just not right. We have been looking through this sermon series, The Little Things. We've been talking about how, especially in pandemic conditions, some of the little things in life would and test you can be exhausting and yet so powerful and so important to who we are and what we do in our faith. And this evening, I want to begin by reflecting on what I said just a few days ago, last Sunday, the fourth Sunday in Advent, about the innkeeper. Because tonight I want to talk about there being power in little things. And innkeeper, as we last Sunday, a simple choice in life. We've seen, those of you that have seen Christmas pageants, this story unfold before us hundreds of times. When Mary and Joseph come in looking for a room and there is none, the innkeeper apologizes that there's no room and then tells them, I guess you could use the stable in the back to stay in. And what I shared last Sunday was, that may be the most important decision they ever made in life. The decision to allow Mary and Joseph to use their stable would never have occurred to them to be the most important thing they would have done in life. They may not have even realized the significance of it, not only in that moment, but later on. But God included it in his story just to show us how important little things can be in the course of our lives. And the fact that they would look at their lives and not even include that potentially in one of the most important things they ever did just tells us how we're not very good at evaluating the important things in our own lives and the significance of what we do. Years ago, I was getting ready for a worship service, and if you're a pastor getting ready for a worship service, you have 1,000 things to do and many things on your mind. Some of you see that you get in some of your best walking of the day just before a worship service. You are running from here to there, coordinating different teams and getting things done. And this day was no different, and a new family walked in the door. And before I could go to greet them, someone else got to them, another member of the church, and began talking to them. As they began interacting and sharing, there was a lengthy conversation. They invited them to sit down, and then they came up to me, and they said, Pastor, I just want to tell you a new family came today. This is their name so that you can greet them later on. And I want to let you know that immediately after worship, I will be taking them out to lunch because they told me, rather they asked me, if the church could feed them. That's why they were here. So I said, look, I'm sure you're busy. I know you have a lot to do. I know that you have a family. I know that there are probably things you have to do this afternoon. I'm happy to take them out and get them some food. And he looked at me. His eyes got really big. And he stuck his finger out at me, almost in my face. And he said, I will not let you steal my blessing. Now, I was a little confused at the moment as to exactly why he said that. And he cycled back to me later to explain it to me so that I could understand what he was thinking. It's interesting because in his explanation, he talked about the Christmas story. And one of the things that he noted that I've also seen is that people in the Christmas story, the characters,
that we think about in the Christmas story all have relatively simple roles. It's one of the reasons why we like Christmas pageants. As a matter of fact, about a week ago, I met an angel out in the hallway. She had just put on her halo, but didn't quite have her robe on. And I teased her a little bit. I said, "Are you an angel?" She said, "Yes, I am." I said, "I was thinking you might be a shepherd." "No." Now, the angel in the Christmas pageant has a relatively simple role. They're either giving a message, like telling Joseph and Mary, it's going to be okay, God's going to send a baby, or they're singing, right? Telling the shepherds in the fields that there's going to be a baby and the Son of God is born. And we love the angels, don't we? Especially in the Christmas pageant, because they're so cute. They had a relatively simple role. The shepherds, you know, sometimes I feel bad for shepherds. The shepherds were told at the very last minute to go and see Jesus. They didn't have time to shower. They didn't have time to shave. But I suspect they might not have done that anyway. They simply were told, go and see this thing which God has done. And maybe God waited to the last minute because they were men. And he knew it wouldn't make a difference. A week earlier, the minute before, it wouldn't make a difference. If he wanted them to go, he'd show up right then and say, go now or don't go at all. And they showed up. And I just want to pause and ask you the question, if you were in a hotel room and, God forbid, had to have a baby in a hotel room, and suddenly a group of 10 men who hadn't shaved or showered in weeks showed up outside your door of your hotel room and said, we are here to see your baby. How many of you would open that door? Their job was simply to go and see, and their natural response was to tell others. They left glorifying and praising God and telling everyone what God had done. The wise men, now the wise men in the story, they had a little bit more to do, right? They discovered a star. Then they had to pack for a journey. They didn't know how long it would be. They had to arrange for stuff. They had to take stuff with them. But in the end, they rode their camels for some period of time. They got to Jesus' house. It wasn't at the manger scene later on. And they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Again, not overly complicated. And then there's Joseph and Mary, a simple couple who were betrothed. And in that day, it meant that they were, well, their culture was different than ours. And so they were, their families had signed legal documents saying that they were married, but they hadn't actually gotten married because they hadn't had the ceremony. So that word was betrothed. And they were excited. Have you ever seen a young couple in love? They're almost disgusting. They stare at each other. They're all happy. They got so much to talk about. An older seasoned couple can eat in silence for a little while at a dinner table. A young couple, they don't stop talking. And these two were in love until Mary found out that she was pregnant and Joseph was a little bit disappointed. And God asked Joseph to do a pretty big thing. I need you to trust me. And God asked Mary to do a very big thing, to say, I need you to trust me. Not just trust me, but trust me and allow me to use your body as a holy temple for my son. Now, having said all that, looking at all the characters in the Christmas story, what we realized was that God gave simple roles to everybody so that the best role could be for Jesus. Because Jesus left his throne in heaven, agreeing to leave that relatively pristine, beautiful, joy-filled, fantastic place to come to this mess. Jesus spent most of his life actually working a hard job. He was either a carpenter or a stonemason. The Greek is a little ambiguous. Can I just say, there's a good chance that Jesus was pretty buff. There aren't too many pictures of Jesus in kids' Bibles that where he looks buff. But if he worked as hard as I think he did, Jesus was chiseled. And then God called him to start his ministry. And he had the responsibility of showing the entire world what love and the Heavenly Father looked like. Can you imagine if God gave you that responsibility? Can you imagine what it would feel like to have the entire world announce to them that you are the one to look to see what it's like to be God? How long would you and I last? Like 6 minutes? But because he was God, he showed us. He walked life, he healed the sick, he healed the blind, he fed the hungry, he did all these things. And then he went to the cross and he took on the sins of the entire world, died and rose again. But all we see in this picture is a baby. At the very beginning. And God put together all this cast of characters around him that were simple, doing simple things to share with us that we also play small parts in God's story that, even though they're small, are not in any way insignificant. If you were to take any of the characters out of the Christmas story, it would not be nearly as rich or beautiful or full of the meaning that it is. So about 3 days later, my member walked into my office and said, "Can I explain to you what happened on Sunday?" I said, "I'd love it if you did that." Here's what he said to me. "Look, I have a good job. I'm an executive in a very large company. I go to work and I have responsibility over a lot of people and a lot of stuff. And as I learn what it means to follow Jesus, there are days when I come home and ask myself, what does this have to do with what God wants me to do in this world?" And he said, "Look, I understand what it means to be ethical in my job. I understand what it means to treat people well in my job. But sometimes I come home and say, did I do anything really important today? Or did I just make a big company more money?" And he said, "I'm trying to understand what that means in my spiritual walk. And I think that the Bible tells me that there are some things that are very clear that bless God's heart. And one of them is when somebody steps into a house of worship and they are hungry and have nothing to eat. So when they crossed my path, I believe that God was sending me something to do that was relatively small, simple, easy, and clear, that said to me, this is important. This has meaning. This is part of my spirituality." And so he said with glee, "I took them to McDonald's and told them, get whatever you want. Because that's where the kids wanted to go. Thank God my kids have grown up." And he said to me, "You," and he got his finger out again, "you get to do this kind of work all the time." You get to sit with people and listen to them. You get to help people who are hurting. You get to feed people who are hungry. I sit in my office and say, am I doing the kinds of things I'm supposed to do? And he said, when things like this happen in life, I say, I want to do this. I do not want to miss this opportunity. And when you stepped in because you thought it was inconvenient for me, or they were bothering me or interrupting my day, I looked at you as serious as I did and say, don't steal my blessing. Because I knew in that moment, I had an opportunity to play a small part in God's story. The story of Christmas is a story centered around Jesus, with people who are invited to play small parts. the star of the show didn't even realize he was the star of the show. And when he realized it, the scripture says he humbly went to the cross for us. That's the kind of Savior Jesus was. That member finished up their conversation by saying this. He said, "I will never preach. I'm so glad that you do, Andrew. I will never lead a Bible study. I'm so glad that you do. I will never, don't ever ask me to pray out loud." But this I can do. What did it mean to Mary and Joseph when the innkeeper said, "I have a room for you, but it's in a stable"? Do you think Joseph said, "Oh, thank God"? What do you think it did for Mary and Joseph when the shepherds showed up and had somebody in a town that they were not overly familiar with to say, "We are going to celebrate with you because you have a new baby"? How powerful is it when somebody comes along with you and just celebrates? When somebody just jumps up and down with you and says, "I am so happy for you. You got the raise, you got the job, your kid is out of college. Praise God." I had that conversation today. And their kid has a job. They were dancing in the lobby. What does it mean when the wise men show up and give you gifts just before you have to flee the country because Herod wants to kill your baby? It's no wonder the scripture says that Mary gathered all these things up and treasured them in her heart. Each one of them a little piece. See, Luke wasn't there for any of this. Luke, the scripture says, went around and gathered up everyone's story. The most complete story of Christmas is in Luke. He went around to the witnesses and gathered them up. And I wonder if he talked to Mary when he did it and said, "Mary, just tell me. Tell me what you remember." Because of all the little details that we see in this particular passage. Small things, and every one of them mattered. See, here's what I wonder. By the way, this is bonus material. I didn't preach this at the earlier service. I wonder, because of the craziness of the day, if the innkeeper never knew that it was Jesus that was in his stable. And I wonder, can you imagine the scene in heaven? Imagine the scene in heaven. God calls the innkeeper forward and says, "Do you remember that night?" I'm going to guess they don't. "Do you know who you let stay in your stable?" Can you imagine if you didn't know? And then God's son gets up off his throne and walks down to them and says, "Thank you." Thank you for providing for my mom and dad. Thank you for giving me a simple place to land in this world. We sometimes forget how powerful small things are to God. I have on my desk 3 cabinets that have locks on them. There's one that I rarely ever go into, and the other day I needed to go into it, It's one of the few that are locked. I got the key. I unlocked it. I lifted it up. And sometime within the past year, my oldest daughter had taken a sticky note and written on it, "I love you, Daddy." And she stuck it on an object right inside that door. And I lifted it up this week, and there it was. "I love you, Daddy." Do not underestimate the power of doing small things. Let's pray. Father, we have the glory of serving you. Not all of us will preach or lead Bible studies or pray out loud. But you have given us so many opportunities to join in your story by following Jesus. Help us to see the invitation he gives us. The world right now is so hurting. They're starving for examples of love. And it feels like the world is so desperately hurting and hungry and lost that we will never make a dent in it. But you have invited us to believe that it will happen one meal, even if it's a happy meal. One sticky note, one phone call, one card, one helping hand at a time as we do so in the name of Jesus, who came to show us what it looks like to be a child of God. May we happily, excitedly declare that we will not let somebody else steal our blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we get to celebrate
with Silent Night. The ushers will come forward. They'll light the candles from up here. They'll walk down the pews. We're going to ask you to take your unlit candle on the ends and light it off their lit candle so we're not turning lit candles to dump wax everywhere. When the candles are relatively lit, we'll ask everybody to stand and we will sing Silent Night together. The words will appear on the screen.
As you extinguish your candles, can you please turn the lights back up for us so that I can offer to us our Christmas benediction, blessing. Would you receive this blessing now? May all wonder find a place in your soul and dance with you in unexpected steps. May all joy be at home within your heart and weave a sacred rhythm throughout this life and all to come. May unsolved mysteries make your life an adventure and pull you towards unknown places waiting for you since the very beginning of time. May blessings be your forever companion and cradle you, strengthen you, and love you always. May the ebb and flow of life be a daily gift, offering times of pain and celebration and healing. May God let you see what others miss. Promise cradled in every wonder, the flow of life shaping a sacred story where love and you dance together daily. And when eyes that have seen all living draw into focus salvation's intent, may they recognize at day's end a promise, a deed, a gift, fresh born into this world. May you go in that peace, that joy, and that love. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.